Powerades.
Like the small ones?
Yeah, the little Powerades. And I'm like, oh, JT, what's this? And he goes, oh, open it up. They're going to give us our post-game shake. And I'm like, post-game shake? Shouldn't there be a blender running? He goes, no. The trainer came around and just put a scoop of protein in everyone's Powerade. And I'm like, JT, you got to get out of here. Because this isn't NHL. This is like Bush League, you know? And
a scoop of protein.
A scoop of protein. I'm like, is this all we have? He's like, yeah, well, pizza will be there and everything. And I'm like, well, in Pittsburgh, like, you're getting fresh berries. You're getting bananas. You're getting, like, I mean, the best of the best. The shakes, I still miss the shakes the Penguins miss.
We're not talking about, like, big-time food costs here. We're talking bananas.
Bananas, blue. But when you – so in the Pittsburgh dressing room, it's the coolest shake station ever. They have any kind of protein powder. They have any kind of berry, fruit, any kind of coconut water. Like, it's like one full fridge of the freshest frozen food, and you just make the best shakes in the world. It tastes unbelievable. That's like, maybe that's how who pushed JT out of Long Island. I did. I was like, JT, you got to get out of here. These shakes and how they treat you, they treat you a lot better somewhere else.
TK, great stuff. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'm off. I got a camp in Las Vegas. My brother's staying at my house, but taking me and the family down to up to Las Vegas for a week and a half.
Enjoy it. Hopefully, it won't be 116 degrees.
I got to golf the win, but we'll see. It's a little bucket list with my little son TK, so I'm excited.
Enjoy it. See you in a couple of weeks, TK. Appreciate it. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Sunny and hot today and a high of Benny Cunningham and Ernie Mills, 89. Mark Cabali will join the show next from Steelers training camp. Pop and Joe show rolls on. Austin Bechtel, your friend City Limits with you. Sean has a headline. We're back on the Fan. Sweep the best team in the American League. Get swept by the worst team in the American League. But your Buccos are rolling right now. Spencer Horwitz, in his last eight games, is hitting over .350 now with two home runs and 12 RBIs. Well, sometimes people get hot, and sometimes people start to find their groove. Is it that yet with Spencer Horwitz? We'll be finding out soon. One person who's always optimistic about the Pirates and is at Steeler training camp right now is our good friend Mark Cabali. Kaboom, what do you make of the Spencer Horwitz home run and the Pirates on a roll against the Tigers, Kaboom?
Look how excited you sound, Austin.
Well, because you're always so pessimistic about the Pirates. There's not a lot to be excited about this year. So
I'm thinking right now, they seem like they're really close of being a championship contender team. And I'm thinking Donnie Kelly has now put his name back into the running for manager of the year because they won three games. You'll never learn, will you, you youngster?
Mark, I'm just trying to be excited about a three-game stretch and know that it does not mean that the team is as close as many believe it to be. But that's neither here nor there.
They stink.
What's the biggest takeaway so far from the start of the first day of school, if you will, up at Steelers training camp? I have not seen anybody post anything about Aaron Rodgers yet. Have you seen Aaron appear yet?
No, he has not, and media availability is now over, so I'm assuming he's already in the building, either one of the first ones here or maybe last night.
So he snuck in the back door.
Well, he didn't talk to us. Well, campus wasn't open until 9 o'clock. We weren't allowed up here until 10, so he could have been here before that. He could have came tomorrow. He could have came earlier yesterday, so he has not made his arrival yet to the media. I've not seen him, so in how this works, you won't see him at all today.
Mark Cabali's on the Fan Hotline, presented by Selvin Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years, Mark of the Pat McAfee Show. Mark, friend of the Pat McAfee Show, Aaron Rodgers, Juan Thornhill had some very fascinating things to say, saying if you really compare Aaron Rodgers to Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, he deserves to be in that conversation as the NFL's best quarterback. What do you make of Thornhill's comments?
Yeah, maybe historically. I don't know if he really meant or wanted to say right now, because obviously that's not the case. But Juan Thornhill, God bless him. He also said he played extremely well last year for the Browns defense. And all you have to do is look at the tape. You look at a guy who wasn't signed till mid-April to a very non-lucrative contract suggests otherwise right there. But they're all positive today. Jalen Ramsey did just talk. He, as I would say, he got Burt Lawton, which means
PR team PR already guy. Got to him.
Yeah, he didn't want to say much. At one point, he actually said, oh, you know, if I'm allowed to be saying something like this. And it was something he was very dialed back a little bit right there. He is excited. He made it known that he was assuming he was coming here long before the trade happened, happy to be here. All that nice and giddy stuff as we enter here first day of camp. So nothing out of the ordinary that we weren't expecting people were going to say. It's not much different, Austin, from what we heard 6 months ago, other than a couple new faces, which we didn't hear from one of them.
Did you hear from the $41 million man today?
Yes. No. He, you know, honestly, he's talking here in about 15 minutes.
What do you expect him to say? I'm imagining, obviously, talking about the contract. I would imagine somebody's going to ask him, why are you so committed to the franchise? Why did you want to stay with the franchise? What are your career aspirations in terms of the playoffs? Because I feel like that's probably something that maybe was in the back of his mind. But at the same time, when somebody says $41 million, you probably just signed the deal regardless of where you are.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like I said, he hasn't talked yet. I got a little distracted there because I'm walking down the road here and I see a brand new tricked out Shelby truck with the tinted out windows. And I'm thinking that might have been your quarterback right there.
Aaron,
I was not able to see here because the windows are tinted. Here's one from the hotel right now.
So no Malibu. No white Malibu that's pulling up to training camp this year with a quarterback.
This is real time here as they're walking in. Some expedition with the Regency license plate here. So I don't know who these people are. The windows are so tinted there, but if you'd re-ask your question, maybe I'd actually pay attention this time rather than see who is in the brand new truck that looks like costs more than I make in my lifetime so far.
Did anybody show up in a fire truck? Did anybody show up in a helicopter?
You know what was the little bit of different this year was there was a handful of guys that brought along motorized scooters.
Oh, motorized scooters were the big play. So we're downgrading from big-time arrivals to scooters. We're downgrading from cars
they brought them
to scooters.
Them. I mean, Herbig had them. I think Highsmith had them. Benton had it. Funny thing is, it had 20 years ago. One of Cowher's last years, a lot of the guys were having motorized scooters up here. And once Cowher saw that, he went nuts. Said no more of that. So, it's taken about two decades, but it looks like that has made its way back as the fancy thing to bring. A lot of alkaline water, too. I thought water was water. Just go get some from, I don't even know what river's down here. Is there Lake Vincent down here somewhere?
Lake Vincent. Did you just take that because of St. Vincent? Do you think there's just a random lake they call it Lake Vincent? Is that a real lake?
There's a lake right outside the facility, right outside the campus. I just call it Lake Vincent. I don't know what it is.
Why don't you just put a little landmark down there, a little sign, and name it yourself? Like Patrick Queen was talking about the highest paid defense in the league and his confidence in it. What did you make it? What was Queen's comments and what did you make of them?
I don't recall. It was so darn hot out here, Austin, and the sun was so bright.
Ah, so you were not paying attention to what most of the players were saying.
So many sweat bees. I heard him say something, but I wasn't able to go back and look exactly what he said.
Mark, you posted a video of it.
Yeah, I couldn't see it, though. That's the point. It's so bright and musty out here. I'm sure he, honestly, I can't remember. That was like 3 hours ago, brother. I'm old. I don't remember this stuff.
All right, now that it's...
Oh, no, I'm lost out here.
You've roamed the campus for 20 years and you're lost.
Shoot.
Thank you for not swearing on air.
I said, shoot.
I know. I said, thank you for not swearing on air. Now that everything is put aside, Mark, We're talking to Mark Caballi of the Pat McAfee Show. What a riveting conversation it's been so far.
Well, you literally caught me as they shut down the facility here of interviews. So I'm trying to make it my way to TJ Watt, and they've changed a lot of things around here. And I am a little bit lost right now, but go ahead.
So now that all the distractions of the Watt contract, we think all the big trades have already been made, contracts have been signed. What do you think, as the rubber starts to meet the road with the start of training camp, the ultimate outlook of the team is? Are you projecting 10-7? Are you projecting a 6-win team, and it bottoms out with Aaron Rodgers not being successful? What in the wonderful mind of Mark Caballi do you see in your crystal ball of Malzi's cranium?
I can see a 10-win team again, but I think there's a difference between this year's 10-win team and, say, last year's 10-win team. I keep using this as an example. Last year's 10-win team looked like it was a team that got everything they could get out of it. They squeezed the old proverbial lemon dry. There was nothing left. That was the best they were going to be able to do. Even if this team only does win 10 games, I think if you stay healthy and all that stuff, you get into the playoffs, you have a better opportunity to be able to maybe win a playoff game, be able to win, say, 2 playoff games. I think the ceiling's a lot higher just for the people they acquired, the top-end talent they require. But on the flip side of that, it can go ugly right quickly. But right now, I think they have an opportunity to do what they haven't been able to do in 8 to 10 years, and that is get into the playoffs. I wouldn't be too concerned if they lost, 7-8 games during the regular season. As long as they get into the playoffs, I think they have a better opportunity to win this year than they have in probably 6 or 7 years.
Player that needs to have a bigger season, Joey Porter Jr. or Broderick Jones?
Oh, probably Broderick Jones, because there's nobody else there. I mean, right now, at least you have Darius Slay to fall back on, Jalen Ramsey to fall back on. You have Broderick Jones fells and becomes, where you can't start him anymore like they did week 2 last year. Who do you go to? Calvin Anderson? Spencer Anderson? I'm sure there's another Anderson I'm missing on the offensive line.
So. Max Sharping's over there, too. He's maybe a guard, but...
Max Sharping always glares at me when I'm in the locker room, so I'm a little intimidated by him.
Does he look at you like how Pony sat behind home plate once and he said that Paul Skeens was looking at him a certain way and they had a moment?
There's absolutely no way that Skeens even knows who Pony is.
Well, I don't know. Pony, don't underestimate the power of the Pony Express.
I do underestimate it. Maybe I should overestimate it. But Broderick Jones, he's the linchpin to it all. I think if Broderick Jones plays above average ball, a 14th overall pick, not even that, what he was a couple years ago, that brings this entire offensive line together. And if it doesn't, then you're pretty much could be falling apart at the seams right there, like I said, because you don't – Calvin Anderson's a good swing guy. He's a guy who can play a game or two. He's not a guy you want to, play 18 games with or 16 games with at all. So definitely Broderick Jones, huge, huge season for him, not only for him personally, but him when it compared to the team.
2 more for you, Mark, before we let you go get to the Watt presser. Jalen Ramsey said, I'm not getting paid what I'm getting paid to not affect the game and be in certain spots. Is that going to include safety?
He was very, very quiet on that. Obviously, he was briefed on that question. And he said, and he basically said, we'll see. We'll have to find out together. I think he wants to. He doesn't view himself as a corner. He views himself as a defensive back, and where he can play the nickel, he can play the corner. I think Robert Woods played with him in L.A., and he said, I've seen him play corner. I've seen him play slot at a high level. He never said, I've seen him play safety at a high level. So he's a flat-out athlete. So I would not anticipate him getting a ton of snaps at safety, but there'll be a practice or two. They'll throw him back there and see what he's able to do. I still think they're going to go find somebody. I mean, Juan Thornhill was quite enamored with his ability today.
Yeah, he thinks that he is Minkah Fitzpatrick back there.
Well, that's because Mike Tomlin thinks that. And I guess that's a good guy to have on your side, right, really. I mean, that goes back to the college days right there. But like I said, if you're a free agent that's not signed till mid-April, there's some flaws there. And I don't think you can go into a season having Juan Thornhill as your starting free safety, regardless of how well he does over the next 3 weeks.
So do you think they're done, finally? Do you think that the deals have been signed, whether it be a free agent or an extension, will there be any extensions that go down, or a wide receiver or a safety that's added? And not like somebody who might be the 53rd guy on the roster, somebody of quality.
You know who probably deserves an extension? There's TJ right there. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to be late.
Wave to him.
I didn't know it was him. What was I saying? You know, the guy who deserves it but not going to get it is Boswell. Boswell should be the highest paid kicker in the league, but he's still 2 years out. They're not going to make an exception for him.
No, they didn't for TJ.
No, so he's a guy that's deserving. I wouldn't be surprised if they, like I said, get a safety, maybe a wide receiver, but nobody's going to knock your socks off.
Not Justin Simmons.
Can he knock your socks off?
He's better than what they have.
Yeah, potentially. I don't see anybody really in line to get in the big-time extension right now either. So they might just sit on that 25 mil and roll it over till next year.
So more likely they sign a safety than a wide receiver, you think?
I think so. I think Calvin Austin and Roman Wilson are going to show that they're capable of being that number two, 2B, along with Freiermuth and Jonnu Smith. It should be interesting. We should stay online as I barge into the TJ Watt press conference while it's going on already.
Say hello to Jeff for me. Jeff will be joining us after the Watt press conference.
All right, brother.
Thank you, Mark. That's Mark Cavalli of the Pat McAfee Show. Going to the TJ Watt presser. Coming up next, we will go to PNC Park, where we will hear from Jeff Hathorn. And what is a six? We'll hear from Dan Zangrilli and then Jeff Hathorn. Dan is down at the ballpark. In what is a 6-0 Pirates lead, they're looking to sweep the Detroit Tigers. Dan had a really special guest join the pregame show today on 100.1 FM, AM 1020 KDKA. That's where the game is currently being played. And also Dan's thoughts on the deadline and what the Pirates could do. Then we'll go to Jeff at training camp and get a recap on the day and what TJ Watt had to say about his new contract. It's Austin Bechtold with you. You're Fred City Limits. Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Back after this on Pop and Joe. Join Donnie Football at Dino's on Thursday from 6 to 10 to kick off the start of training camp. Cool off with a nice cold Miller Lite and listen to Donnie's takes on the first day of camp. It's part of Donnie's camp tour. That's Donnie's neck of the woods out in the Greensburg area, out by Latrobe.
Donnie, it's my neck of the woods too, Austin.
That's right.
Mr. Westmoreland County.
Over in Plum. You and Donnie should tag team together and work those shows. You producing and Donnie hosting.
That'd be a wonderful time.
That'll be exciting. But is it as exciting as what's going on at PNC Park over the last couple of days? Dan Zangrilli is there in what is now a 6-0 Pirates lead. Dan, I don't know why they did this to you, but they got swept by the worst team in the American League with you on the call, and now they sweep the best team in baseball. At least they're on track to, and against the Detroit Tigers with you not on the call. Do you take any offense to that?
Well, I'm just glad they were able to flush the virus and get better, right? They were able to purge the disease.
What did you put in the water, Dan?
I don't know. Obviously a laxative because they you-know-what down their legs. So that was a bad series, but this has been a very good one. And what, Bailey Falter retired the first 11 batters that he faced, no-hitter into the fourth inning with two outs, and now he's about to throw the first pitch here of the sixth inning to Matt Vierling. So he's thrown a one-hit shutout, which is paling in comparison to what he's done so far the first three starts of July. He's looking more like the May version of Bailey Falter, and my goodness, what's gotten into Spencer Horwitz over the last 3-4 games. I think he's, what, 7 of 9 in the series with the grand slam coming in the second inning, and McCutchen with the other big swing, a vintage homer to right center. So that's where we're at here.
12 RBIs in his last 8 games as well for Horwitz, crushing the ball. But, you know, we've been very heavy on football today, Dan, and one thing that I wanted to get into on the show is Mitch Keller. Was last night Mitch Keller's last start as a Pirate at PNC Park? I'm continue to lean, and I'm really in the direction now where I've made up my mind. I want them to keep Mitch Keller because even though they have a ton of depth on this team with starting pitching, they would be trading from the significant top of that depth. It's Paul Skeens, and then it's Mitch Keller. And like, let's say hypothetically they figure out offense and they get into a playoff series. We don't have any known commodities to look at right now and say, if you had a 3-game series, 3-game wild card, sure, Skeens can go out there and automatically win you a game with a good offense. Who follows? I would rather them keep Keller, trade the bullpen arms, and use some of their farm system to acquire talent. Do you think that was Keller's last start last night?
You know, no. I'm gonna check the no bubble, but there's a lot of smoke around the name, and I think there's gonna be more reports coming out about other players here sooner rather than later. And you know, there's so much smoke around this team, and the general manager has been so outward in his rhetoric, and even the manager yesterday, Don Kelly, wasn't shying away or didn't use language to guard against, you know, showing their cards as to what they intend to do. But listen, this is a gamesmanship time of year. It's a big game of poker. Are they sending smoke signals? Of those smoke signals, beneath the chimney stack, where's the real fire? So that's where I'll maybe question that, call it out a little bit, and say that maybe that they just want to see what other teams are willing to give, just so they can be very active as much as they can be in the market to try to drive as much potential value. And if they do get overwhelmed, maybe they'll be compelled to act. But in this big game of poker where, in this day and age, it's much different, Austin, than 10 years ago, where everybody values their cards similarly. And what I mean by that is there's no Ivy League GMs that are able to go fleece the Hawaiian shirt, back slapping, radar gun pointing, straw hat wearing kind of general managers from the old school. Everybody's kind of got a new school mentality and purview on the players. So when everybody is valuing everybody similarly, it's much harder to get deals done. So it's a much harder era to trade in now, especially at the deadline, than it was a decade ago when the Pirates were really aggressive in adding to those 13, 14, 15 teams. So if you're going to trade Keller, and I'm with you for all of the reasons that you just laid out, and I'll throw in another, he leads baseball in quality starts. Yesterday was his 15th. I feel that if you do have to go that route to truly improve this offense very quickly and get a bona fide bat, and by the way, I'd settle for nothing less than that, be it at the deadline or in the offseason, I'm more compelled to listen and be motivated to do business with Keller in December, certainly more than I would be in July, because guess what? Who wants to, of the contenders that you're going to be dealing with, who would be vying for Keller services, who would want to subtract from that lineup? Because not only are the Pirates struggling offensively, just more extremely than other clubs are, but everybody around the league is looking for offense.
Right.
So your ask is going to be, I need a bona fide bat. Who's going to be like, yeah, here, let me subtract from my contending team to fill this void in pitching? I don't think anybody's going to want to do that.
Even a contending team that has,
December?
Like, poor starting pitching, though?
Well, but how did they get there? Was it through offense? They're solving a problem by creating another. Let's put yourself in the shoes of the contender. I don't see around the league where people have all of this offense and all of these rosters are so deep with what the Pirates' needs are, and that is bona fide, turnkey, right now, ready to be parachuted into a lineup and immediately produce. Will you get a top 100 prospect? Will you get a really promising bat? Sure. I think those are going to be made available to the Pirates, but I think you and I have discussed this item before. Why should the Pirates be in position, especially if you're going to deal Keller now, the Keller piece? You deal him. Why do you then have to take on inherent risk and a commodity you may get that could very well turn out to be a big hit, but you don't know that. But you do know that the chasm between AAA and the big leagues is so big. example Jack Suwinski, example Henry Davis,
yeah.
example anybody that's had a hard time assimilating here for the Pirates. That's happening everywhere else. So why take on that unnecessary risk? That's where I sit on Keller. You got to be blown away in July. If not, keep your cards. There's no gun to your head. You can do a deal in December. That's, again, if you even want to deal Keller. And I lean towards your original argument. That's a really good one. No, don't. But, again, depending on what you're able to do to try to quickly turn this thing around, that might be something that has to occur. But does it have to occur in the next 10 days? No, I don't think so.
Dan, I got about 30 seconds before we're going to go to Jeff at training camp. Did a great job with calling the game over the weekend. You had a broadcast partner with you on the pregame show today. Tell me who joined you and what that was like.
My man, Chuck in Uniontown. He hasn't been here in 13 years, and it was so good to get him to the ballpark. And I know he's with Jason Mackey right now, the Post-Gazette. He's down in his suite. I'm going to try to stop down and see him. But obviously, he means a lot to our show. He means a lot to me personally. So glad that a number of people were able to make this happen. So hat tip to Jason, the Pirates in particular, who were so gracious. And he got to announce play ball here on the PA system, which was terrific, in addition to co-hosting with us on KDKA today.
That's sweet. Dan, really appreciate your time and your kindness towards Chuck. He means a lot to all of us that chimes in whenever we host. So take care, Dan. We'll talk to you soon.
You got it. Thanks, Austin.
That's Dan Zangrilli, our Pirates pre- and post-game host at the ballpark right now as the Buccos are currently leading 6-0 against the Detroit Tigers. And we go now to Jeff Hathorn in Latrobe after TJ Watt just spoke. Jeff, good to talk to you. This is the first of many conversations we'll have over the next couple of weeks. What was the main takeaway from TJ?
That he knew he was going to get a deal done and that he was just playing a game. He said the two fingers in the Instagram post, the peace sign, that was as much to play with us as it was to negotiate. And he said he kind of sits back and watches and kind of laughs at all the stuff that's being said. But the main thing he said about the team is that he's excited about the changes, that he thinks the changes with this team are going to make them much better. And he smiled often. Obviously, when you're the highest paid non-quarterback in the league, that'll bring a lot of smiles. But he genuinely seemed excited about these new faces. And you remember, like, he hasn't even met Aaron Rodgers yet. Hadn't met him.
Do you think he was referring to Rodgers, or was he? Do you think he was referring to?
No, he was referring to both sides of the ball.
Okay, so there wasn't like he wasn't pointing in a direction where like Rodgers specifically or Metcalf for adding Jalen Ramsey on his side.
No, in fact, he did a very good job of avoiding specific names and just kept saying the new faces, with the exception of Aaron, because that's a little bit different scenario, and that was the last question that we had. So. Yeah, I mean, he also talked about potentially moving around and that, you know, the defense needs to play better down the stretch. And, you know, he made a comment about the fact that he hasn't won a playoff game and just kind of said, listen, we can talk about this all we want, but we just need to go out on the field and do it.
So he didn't make much of that or the situations behind it. It's just basically one of those back to the grind type of things. Why do you think he's not more outspoken about that 8-year run that he's been a part of?
I think he's talked about it a few times, and I think he knows when he discusses it, it gets a lot of traction. And I think he was trying to avoid national traction more than anything by discussing that. And he just kind of, you know, again, said, basically, we've discussed this. I know about it. The only thing that's going to change it is us going on the field and getting it done.
What was the most intriguing, fascinating thing that was said by some of the players that didn't have an organized presser when they were walking in?
And Jalen Ramsey was very coy about where he's going to play, which is interesting. Not that you expect him to say, and I think that's going to be a work in progress. That was something. I mean, Patrick Queen told us that the defense, I believe the term he used, was sloughed off at the end of last year. And they can't have that happen. Like, part of these changes have to be not just the personnel, but they can't have these drop-offs. Of course, he's only been here for a year, but they can't have the drop-off that they had last year, and they can't have that go forward. Troy Faltano said he's 100%. He's going to be full go once camp starts, that you know, the OTAs and minicamp were great for him to build his confidence, because he admitted that he was a little wary about his knee. And he said by the end of minicamp, when they had some guys pushing back, again, it's not a full game, that he feels really good about the knee and that he's just back to playing football. And obviously he's going to be a huge part of that offensive line.
Did Broderick Jones talk?
He did not. He was not. It's not, he didn't come in at the time that we were up there. We were up there for about 3 hours, and there are other doors other than the door that we're allowed to go by. And I think a lot of guys actually came earlier and were already in the dorm, and we can't go over to the other side. So I'm guessing Broderick was one of those.
And Aaron Rodgers probably snuck in through the back door too.
Yeah. Yeah. Needless to say, we did not talk to Aaron yet today. Probably won't happen today. Hopefully tomorrow after the first practice, you know, get a good feel from him about what the vibe is like, what the environment is like. Hopefully he gets out there and unleashes some passes, because we haven't seen that from him. And we've seen him throw 10-yard outs. That's all we've seen. So it's not like it's a question mark because he's a rookie, but because he's in a Steelers uniform, it's a little different.
Jeff, great talking to you. We'll talk again soon from Latrobe.
Thanks, Austin.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram on Route 19 in Peters Township. What's Cooking is brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Very kindly. And Fan Weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Sunny and hot today and a high of 89. Ernie Mills and Benny Cunningham. Thanks to Tyler Kennedy. Thanks to Jeff Athorn, Mark Cabali, and Dan Zangrilli, and Sean Myers producing behind the glass. PM team up next on the Fan.